good to gather, isn't it? Just never know what the Lord's going to speak through us. I sit in a rocking chair every morning, so I was kind of getting a rocking thing with the Father. And I remember during Father's Day last week, I remember the Lord showing me through a psalm how proud the psalmist was of God and his victories. And as I prayed through that, I really felt the Lord saying to me, you know, I'm proud of you, my son. So we can be proud of God in a good way, look at his victories in Jesus and say, how amazing is God? And then actually as a father, he says, I'm proud of you, my son. I'm proud of you, my daughter. I see what you do. So that's good. But today we're going to continue in our series, ongoing series, as we kind of sweep through guest speakers and weddings and all sorts of things, on the Holy Spirit. And I think obviously we're always going to be thinking about the Holy Spirit, but it's good as a theme sometimes to focus on a person of the Trinity. And so we've looked at who the Holy Spirit is as a reminder. He is the third person of the Trinity, so the Holy Spirit is not an it or a gas or a force. The Holy Spirit is actually a person. And we looked at why he's come, and he's come to help us. We looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whereby all born-again believing Christians in Christ have the Holy Spirit, and yet God calls us to ask him for more, to be filled again and again. We've looked at our ongoing dependency upon the Holy Spirit. That's really important. We depend on the Holy Spirit all the time. And we come to him daily through his word for refreshing and help and encouragement to follow Jesus and have him bear his fruit through us. And so that's important. We looked in general at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at how all of us as believers have been given different gifts by the Holy Spirit. And I remember getting a bit excited, and I'm still quite excited about this idea of what's called body ministry, whereby between us all, we can actually, to a measure, express the Spirit without limit. So Jesus walked the earth and walked in the Spirit without limit. And, you know, we have limitations, but if between us all we express different gifts, as a body, we'll be representing Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So it'll be like the Spirit of Jesus actually manifesting himself through us. So as a body, as a community, as a collective, between us we'll be expressing to a measure the Spirit without limit. And last time we looked in some detail about prophecy, because Paul tells us to eagerly pursue the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And if you remember, Samoy led us in quite a powerful exercise. So that's what we covered there. And so this week we're going to look at some more gifts. So hopefully the plan is to go through gifts specifically to look at what they are. And today we're going to look at the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So all of us have the Spirit. We're all born again. Those in Christ, we're born again. We have the Spirit. It's given to us for the common good. So all that's, it's like a blanket reality for all Christians. We're all called to bear the fruit of the Spirit. But he says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So what I'm going to do is give a brief explanation on what the word of knowledge is and what the gift of the word of wisdom is. But before I just go into that, I want to say two things. Number one, all this pursuit of the spiritual gifts is done on the foundation of love. So even if we have all the gifts, even if one person starts expressing lots of gifts, or between us all, we're all expressing the gifts. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. And so that's really important to know. All this is done through love, and Paul says we have nothing if we have love. So it's pretty pointless if we don't have love. And then also, for each spiritual gift I go through, I want to say what these gifts tell us about the Holy Spirit himself as a person. And I want to do that because oftentimes we can look at the gifts of the Spirit and then we can take our eyes off the Holy Spirit himself. So we can look at the gifts and forget the giver. So we can obsess about prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and tongues and interpretation and faith and healing and miracles and forget that they're actually gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Trinity. And we can actually do that with Jesus sometimes. We can somehow think that we can have forgiveness imparted to us without a relationship with Christ, without an ongoing relationship. It's like Jesus just kind of imparts forgiveness and then, oh great, I'm forgiven and then I get on with my life. And actually, exactly, no. And so we can think we can have, also we can, this is in our mind, we can think we can have Jesus' salvation, but not his lordship. We can think, oh, I can be saved, but I don't have to have Jesus as my Lord. And so we think we can have some kind of salvation imparted to us, yet ignore him as Lord and King and have a relationship with him. Because with the gifts of the Spirit, it's not about us having gifts and being special in that way. It's about the person of God through the Holy Spirit being glorified through us, that others would be blessed. And others would be blessed by the gifts the Spirit has given. So it's not about us in that sense. It's about the Spirit being glorified through us and us helping others through these gifts. So we don't want to be like a husband, for example, who is fed beautiful dinners every night by his wife and then pays no attention to her as a person. Because that's the kind of, almost like a parallel. Imagine that, just eating these amazing dinners and then just paying no attention to the wife as a person, not wanting to get to know the person, just enjoying the food, putting the plate away and then getting on with their lives. So to keep us aware of that, how do we do that? Because sometimes it's a challenge. You think, well, I don't want to do that, but how do I do that? To keep us aware of the Holy Spirit as a person, a helpful question to ask is, what does this gift tell us about the Holy Spirit as a person? What does this gift tell us about the person of the Holy Spirit? And we can do that with the fruit of the Spirit. We can look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we can know that God is loving. We can know that God is joyful. We can know that God, by the Spirit, is peaceful. He's patient. He's kind. He's gentle. He's good. He's faithful. He's self-controlled. And so when we ask that question of prophecy, we can ask, what does the gift of prophecy tell us about God? We're not primarily thinking, oh, I want to prophesy and I want to be an amazing prophetic person. What does the gift of prophecy tell us about God? Paul says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So the gift of prophecy tells us that the Holy Spirit wants us to be strengthened. The Holy Spirit wants us to be encouraged. The Holy Spirit wants us to be comforted. Isn't that amazing to know the person of the Holy Spirit wants us to be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted? So we begin to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit through the gift. And it's really important to keep in relationship with the person. Because that's really the foundation and the main thing. And so what is the gift of the word of knowledge, and what does it tell us about God, the Holy Spirit? So the word of knowledge, I've come to understand, is when God specifically reveals something to us, usually in our hearts by the Spirit, that we had no prior knowledge of whatsoever. And so it's sometimes confused with prophecy, but it's not understood to be the same because the Bible makes a distinction between the two. So the word of knowledge for those in Christ, born again believing Christians, could be God revealing in your heart, in his timing, something relatively minor, like having a word in your heart about where someone's lost their keys. Well, that's quite a major thing, actually. But, or it could be, honestly, it could be where, I don't know where my wallet is. And then the Lord can just reveal in your heart, have you checked under that place? You think, and it's there. And, you know, you might think, well, that's coincidence or memory, but maybe. But it's possible that it could be the word of knowledge. It could be a word that brings a solution to your problem in your life or at your work that no one else can figure out. You just get a solution in your heart. It's like a word of knowledge from God. It could be a word of revelation on what a scripture means in that moment and how it specifically applies to someone's life in that moment. It could happen after the church service. You're talking to somebody and they mention a scripture and suddenly you have a word of knowledge about that scripture and how it applies to someone's life in that moment. It could be a name given to you. That Bob Frank Bloggs comes to your heart and you just get an urge to speak to your brother or sister and say, does the name Bob Frank Bloggs mean anything to you? And they go, you're never going to believe this, but there's a guy at my work called Bob Frank Bloggs and he's going through a tough time. Let's pray for him. That kind of stuff has happened. I mean, admittedly, there are times when you go up to someone and go, does Bob Frank Bloggs mean anything to you? And they go, I have no idea what you're talking about. But that's just the reality of walking in the Spirit. We have limitations. And so it's just, and you grow in this gift. And you grow in spiritual gifts by trying. You know, I've seen people get up in front of hundreds of people and say, I've got this word of knowledge for somebody, and it's just no one's responded. And that person's grown in that gift, and then they have to sit down, no one said anything, and sometimes no one ever does say something, but sometimes they'll get up in front of hundreds of people and say it, no one says anything, and then after the meeting, someone comes up and they go, I think that might have been me. And they're like, it would have looked a lot better if you'd have said it in front of everybody. So that's the kind of challenge that we have walking in these spiritual gifts, because we're human. We've got limitations. It could be God bringing to light specific circumstances in people's lives in order to minister to them. Now, it's believed by many scholars that Jesus did this with the woman at the well in John 4. So in speaking with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus knew everything about this woman. And he gave word of knowledge after word of knowledge about her life. And so the gift of the word of knowledge is for the whole of life as we live with ongoing dependency in the Holy Spirit. And he may give us these words of knowledge in his timing. For people to help them begin to identify solutions. I think, personally, I believe that everybody can operate in all the gifts, but it doesn't seem that's always happened. I don't believe that I've operated in every single gift, but I think that's possible. But there does seem to be, as I explore this, certain people who will walk in a specific gift. It'd be like, you know, someone's more prophetic, or somebody does seem to have that word of knowledge operating in their lives. So it's up to us to lay our hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for these gifts, not for my glory, but for yours. So wouldn't it be great, Lord, if I could have a word of knowledge to help my friend in this situation? A word that just pops open a solution for them. And a word of knowledge can also be given in the context of what we're doing now, as we gather in a congregation, in a meeting. And many times the word of knowledge as we gather is connected to, but not limited to, healing. And we may get a word of knowledge about someone who's sick, somebody who has symptoms in their body. You might be praying. It's like, I feel that someone's got a really seriously trapped nerve in their shoulder or something like that. And that works. That's how it works. You get a nudge that somebody's, say, for example, got a trapped nerve in their shoulder, and then you go up to the service host and you say, "Can I say this word of knowledge?" And so they grab the mic and they say, "I believe the Lord's given me a word of knowledge." And we're all a family, so we're working it out. And they're not saying, "Thus says the Lord." It's just, this may well be what God is doing. Trapped nerve in the shoulder. Does anybody have a trapped nerve in the shoulder? And then someone might say, "That's me." And then we pray for them. And that, it could be a physical problem. It could be a mental problem. It could be a spiritual problem. And so that's usually how that works out. If someone speaks it out from the front, and if it resonates with people, they say, "Yes, that's me," and they get prayer. And I've seen it happen. I've been in meetings, a couple of hundred people, and three or four people come up and say, you know, that someone's got a really sore neck, or someone's got something that, you know, a symptom, and they don't know what it is, and they, you know, and then people have gone up and responded to it and been prayed for, and people have been healed that way. And I've even heard of, I'm not saying this is absolute, but I've just heard of people who are actually in worship meetings where they get a pain in their body, and that's God indicating that someone's got this pain in their body. And so they'll go up to the front and say, "I believe there's a word of knowledge for somebody who's got a, you know, splitting headache at the back of their neck." And then someone will say, "That's been me. The doctors can't get rid of it." They pray, and the pain goes from the person who had the word of knowledge and the person who had the pain. So it just goes. And so, yeah, that's sometimes how that operates. And, you know, sometimes that kind of thing is a mystery to us. And I think it's, and we'll talk about the gift of healing another time, but sometimes healing is a bit of a mystery. Sometimes God heals instantly. Sometimes God heals in partnership with medication, because I believe medication and doctors are a form of healing. It's God's common grace to us. And then sometimes the challenge is people aren't always healed straight away, and some people aren't always healed. But then you look at the eternal perspective, you think, well, actually God did heal them. Not as we wanted. And it doesn't usually, when it's happening, it doesn't usually help, does it? It's like a Christian thing, "Oh, God has healed them." But when you're in the depths of grief, it's kind of, "Yeah, I know that, but I don't like the fact this has happened." And so that whole subject is a challenging subject, but I believe that we should pursue God. I believe that we should step out in faith. I believe that we should lay our reputations aside and give it a go and say, I think I may have a word of knowledge for somebody. And then we pray for people and we trust God with the outcome. We do what we can and we trust God. And that's ultimately challenging, but the Spirit helps us to do that. So what does this gift of the word of knowledge tell us about God, the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe, firstly, it's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit being another helper. So Jesus said to his disciples about the Spirit that he would be sending another helper. And if you look at that language, it's basically saying someone like me. Like, it will be like me, as in, it's me, it's by my Spirit. And a helper like Jesus, who is not limited by time and space like we are. God is not limited by time and space. He created time and space. He's before time and space. So it's not beyond the realms of his capacity to plant these words of knowledge in our hearts. Now, it doesn't happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but God can do that. The Spirit wants us to know that he's real. Like, God is real. Sometimes we can just be walking in our lives, getting on with things, and the reality of God seems to dip a bit in our consciousness. But when you operate in the spiritual gifts, the perspective and the awareness of the reality of God is wider and bigger and more real to us. He wants us to know that he's alive. Like, God is not dead. God is real, he's alive, he's active in our lives, he's interested in our lives, not just on a Sunday morning. I think Sunday morning is a really special time, and it's like when we all gather, but the Spirit is active tomorrow, and Tuesday, and during the week. He's active when you go out for a coffee with a friend. And you know, if you're going for a walk with a friend and they're saying a perplexing situation to you, you don't have to go, stop, I may have a word of knowledge. You just speak it out and say, could it be this? And they're like, oh, well, actually, yeah, that's, oh, okay, I'll think about that. So it's just like you're always operating in the Spirit. You're always thinking, because he's alive and he's interested. He's even interested in those specific details about certain situations that might not otherwise have been known. I believe the Spirit wants to glorify himself through us by sharing the heart of God through us, that we might know he's real time and time again, be reminded he's real, and we receive words of knowledge, and then we see others blessed. As we step out, we see others blessed as we share what we believe he's revealed to us. And I do believe the Spirit wants to administer healing among us. And as I said, we'll talk about the gift of healing another time. But I think he wants to partner with us and through us to a measure to build us up, that we might receive these words of knowledge, step out in faith and see people healed. And, you know, we trust God. But I think that if we're asking the Spirit for us to walk in this particular gift, and he gives us a stirring in our heart about a symptom or a sickness, I think we should step out and say, I think I may have a word of knowledge about, in a corporate context, is someone here suffering this particular challenge? And let's go for it. Let's try. I think we should pray for the sick. I think we should seek the Lord. And we probably, you know, the reality is we're not always going to get what we think is best. But again, we trust God. And I think also, finally, one of the things we know about the Holy Spirit through this gift is the Spirit wants to see people saved. So it's great that we gather, and it's great that we experience the gifts and we do all that, and that's really important, and we do that. But in the whole bigger picture, people need to be saved. People need to be born again. They need to come into relationship with Jesus. And from there, we grow in maturity, we slip up, we get things wrong, we do this, that and the other, but we're born again. We're on that foundation of Jesus, as we've looked at today through the worship and the communion. Because John says about the woman in the well, or the woman at, not in the well, at the well. Many of the Samaritans, he said, from that town believed in Jesus because of that woman's testimony. And what her testimony was, he said, was, he told me everything I ever did. So Jesus, at the well, gives her word of knowledge after word of knowledge about her life and what she's going through, if you go into that passage. And it led her to be saved. And then she goes into her town, evangelizes many people in their town, and they get saved. So the word of knowledge is not Jesus going, hey, you know, I'm going to show you a trick. I can tell you about these men in your life. I can tell you about this situation. He's speaking word after word of knowledge after word of knowledge, and in the Father's will, by the Spirit, this woman is getting touched, saved. She's experiencing God in a new way. She runs into the town and says, this guy told me everything I ever did. He's the Messiah. And then the town gets saved. And so in Christ, as the Spirit of Christ, as the body of Christ on this earth, people can experience that to a measure. Now, they're not going to turn around and say, oh, Paul gave me a word of knowledge, I think he's the Messiah. Because it's like, hey, I think we've got... I mean, it doesn't happen very often, you know. But there's that, the fact that the risen Jesus is in us, his Spirit is in us, and he's represented through us, that can happen through the word of knowledge. So through us, that's you and me, Because remember, as I've said several times, that my job up here is not to give you all the wisdom and the knowledge. My job is to say you can experience Jesus. This is up to us. This is like a body ministry. And so through me and you, God wants people to know the reality of God in a fresh way that they may be saved. And then who knows, they may go on to tell others about the reality of God, that they have met the one true living God through us. So that's the word of knowledge and some way to what it tells us about the Holy Spirit. And now we'll go on to the word of wisdom. So what is the word of wisdom, and what does that tell us about God, the Holy Spirit? Well, the gift of the word of wisdom goes hand in hand with the word of knowledge. So we'll see when we go through the gifts, like faith and healing go hand in hand. Tongues and interpretation, many gifts go together, some of them cross over. And it's the same with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom many times accompanies the word of knowledge. So how that works is the word of knowledge might open something up in somebody's life. And many times the word of wisdom gives the answer to what's been revealed. And gives them the answer on how to move forward and what has been revealed. Because the general understanding is the word of knowledge is primarily informative, but the word of wisdom is more directional. And so we might be talking to a friend. You might be talking to a friend in need. You might be talking to someone pastorally. And you receive a word of knowledge, for example, that they're in a particular secret sin. And the Lord just reveals, ask him about this. Similar to Jesus when he knew about the woman's life. And we ask them, does this mean anything to you? Are you in this secret sin? And they might say, yes. They might deny it and say no, but eventually they might say, well, yes. How did you know that? That's amazing. How did you know that? And you say, well, I believe God just showed me that you're in that secret sin. And you're sat there thinking, this could be a word of knowledge here. What's going on? I'm actually operating in the spiritual gifts. And they say, well, what do I do now? And we're still thinking, wow, that's amazing. God just spoke to me. What do I do now? God's just revealed the secret sin. I've just put it out on the table. They've admitted it. What are we going to do? Enter the word of wisdom. We ask for the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is the answer to that word of knowledge. So God might reveal something and then perhaps, like I said, in a pastoral situation, and then give you the wisdom for that person and how to move forward. And it does work sometimes. I believe that if there's more than one of us there, two people ministering to one person might get a revelation of a secret sin, and then the other one might get the word of wisdom on how to move forward. It just happens organically as people speak. And it's all, again, it's all done in love. So that kind of thing is not like, I've just exposed a secret sin. It's all done in love. Well, I feel like God might have revealed this. Let's look at how we can wisely move forward as brothers and sisters here. The word of wisdom can happen on its own as well. It doesn't have to operate in that way. But it's quite a special thing, the word of wisdom. It gives you direction in the perplexities of life. So life can be perplexing for all of us, can't it? Has anyone experienced perplexities and complexities in life? It feels like life is getting more complex. And I don't know whether that's just because I'm getting older. and I'm kind of starting to say the things my dad and my nan and my granddad said when I was younger. I'm like, why do they keep saying that stuff? And, you know, back in my day, I'm starting to say that. But I do think the reality is that life is getting more complicated. And there are many things that we face where we just don't know what to do. I look at the advance in technology And it's going so fast that even the people that invent it don't know what to do with the results. Like things like the invention of email. What an amazing invention, but people couldn't see the social consequences of that discovery until it had been discovered, until everybody's using it. And again, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but I am going past bus stops on my way home from here and around and about, and I'm looking at four or five teenagers, people just staring at their phones. Just one example, I saw it looked like a young boy and a girl, it looked like they were friends, and because they were sat next to each other, and they were just both just sat there staring at their phones, like no interaction. And, you know, I'm not saying don't look at your phone, I'm just saying be wise about it. But it just made me think, in that moment, I thought, imagine the social interaction that could have taken place at that moment, just silence. Because there's, you know, the reality is people are addicted to technology. And did they know that right at the beginning when they invented it? Because as I heard recently, there's much technology in a phone. What was it? Was it you that told me that? Much technology in a phone as... Yeah. So there's more technology in your back pocket right now on your smartphone than the technology used to put a man on the moon. So that's pretty extraordinary. And technology's good. I think the world does help us. And we shouldn't be 100% anti-world. But we need wisdom in this situation because it's gone so far. And it means that a lot of people don't know what to do. It's going so fast. It's complex and there's perplexity. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do about our children, our grandchildren who have been influenced by this stuff. And we can all receive good advice from each other, but the word of wisdom is supernaturally imparted. So, you know, all the will in the world, we can give each other advice, and that's good. I'm not saying that that's bad, but sometimes it isn't enough. Because the word of wisdom is not, as one teacher put it, sanctified common sense. It's not like, you know, God's presence on a bit of common sense. This is like the word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who, remember, one of the main reasons he came was to help us. And so when we're constantly walking in ongoing dependency with the Spirit, that wisdom is available in his sovereign will. He will reveal it, I believe, if our eyes and ears and our hearts are open. And that word of wisdom, as I've mentioned, is particularly helpful if you're pastoring somebody, or if you're discipling somebody, or if you're raising children. Be encouraged that you can ask for the gift of wisdom, even in the middle of a conversation. Again, I said you don't go, oh, stop the conversation, I think a word of knowledge is coming. I think a word of wisdom is coming. Just speak. Because you're in Christ already. You're born again. You're in the Spirit. So you can just speak. It's you. Remember, the Spirit comes to indwell you. Now, he's transforming us, but he's come to you. And so he wants you to be you, to be organic and normal. You don't have to put on a weird voice. We can make this earthy because it's real. And we can ask God. And of course, any word of knowledge or word of wisdom will align with the word of God. And many times I've found that God gives direction in your heart and you find it's already in the Bible. So God's already miles ahead of us and we're like, oh, this is quite a fresh direction. Oh, yeah, this is a, I think I might have got something there. Then you have a look at the scriptures and God said it like about 8,000 years ago. And it's like, okay, alright, okay, fair enough. And it's like, if you'd have read the Bible as often as I told you to, then maybe you'd have known that already. That's just a theoretical response. But we might find it's already in the Bible, but it will always align with the Word of God. And so what does that tell us? What does the gift of the Word of Wisdom tell us about the Holy Spirit? Number one, it tells us that the Holy Spirit wants us to ask Him for wisdom. It's quite simple. He wants us to ask Him for wisdom. He wants us to ask for help. He wants us to ask for wisdom to help us so we would be a wise and faith-filled people according to his word. In James, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to you. But he says, but when you ask, believe and don't doubt. So the Spirit wants us to walk expectant. He wants an expectancy in our hearts with him to ask for wisdom. It's like if you're in a perplexing situation pastorally or discipleship or with your children or in another context, and you're faced with like a brick wall. Now we can either just go, I just don't know what to do. Yeah, I don't know what to do either. Yeah, just forget about it. Or we can say, okay, the Spirit wants to help us. The Word of God says, if you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you. So open your heart and say, Lord, we're looking for wisdom here. And if you say that internally because you're with someone else or you're in a team, you can just open up and ask for wisdom, because I believe the Spirit wants us to be faith-filled, to expect. And the Spirit has a heart to share the wisdom of God. This is why I think the word of wisdom is not just sanctified common sense and good common sense, as good as that is. Because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, in chapter 10, he says, there's a fascinating couple of verses, and obviously you can go into the whole context of the whole passage, but he says, the Spirit, this is the Spirit we're talking about here, the Spirit of Jesus who lives in you and I as a born-again believer in Christ. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about here. The heart of God. The heart of the Creator of the universe. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And Helen, you prayed for me to say something outside of my notes, so I blame you for this one. I just as I'm reading it, it's, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? We have the Spirit of Christ in us. So we get the Spirit of Christ in us, and so we get the heart of God in us, so we can know the heart of God because we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So the Spirit is the heart of God in us. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? We are in union with the Father, Son and Holy Spirit in us. So we're in union with the heart of God in us. So we can know the thoughts and hearts of God by the Spirit in his timing. Obviously, I liked what Samoy prayed earlier. Thank you for the things we don't know. There's plenty we don't know. There's plenty that we can't know. But God in his sovereign power, by the Spirit, can reveal his heart to us. And that involves wisdom. So I hope that bit was alright. That wasn't out of line. It's just, yeah. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. And in his timing and in his choosing, he'll reveal that to us. So that tells us that the Spirit is generous. He wants to share the heart of God with us. He wants to share the thoughts of God with us. That in intimacy, we might be directed according to his will. And one of the ways he'll do that is through the gift of wisdom. And the Spirit wants to speak to the perplexities in our lives. He wants to speak into them. So, of course, receiving wisdom has a personal element to it. The Spirit wants to speak wisdom. You know, you can go through the Proverbs, and you might not be operating in the gift of wisdom explicitly, but you can go through the Proverbs, Word and Spirit, and just be filled with the Spirit and look at each proverb and see the wisdom of God and have the Spirit empower your heart to see things that you never saw before, the heart of God that you never saw before. And that, so that's like a personal thing in many ways. And the Lord wants us to give, well, wants to give us personal direction. But when it comes to the gift of the word of wisdom, let's remember that these gifts are for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. So the Spirit wants us to walk in wisdom and a personal life, but as we grow in wisdom, He wants to gift us His words of wisdom so that we might give wisdom to others. So we receive the gift that we might impart wisdom to others. So we might be going through perplexing, challenging things in our lives that we haven't quite worked out yet, and we're waiting on the Lord. And a lot of wisdom is actually waiting. Because if you look at the Hebrew word for wait, it means to bind together. And sometimes when God is silent, He's calling you to be more aware of how bound together you are with the Trinity. So when He's silent, waiting is not a passive activity. Waiting is seeking God and pursuing God and allowing the Spirit, the Father's will in Christ, to bind you together, meaning you're more aware that you're in union with the Trinity. And in that place, He imparts wisdom. And so from that, when you're growing in that kind of thing, when a gift of the word of wisdom comes, you know that it's God. Because you're already walking in wisdom. You're already pursuing God. And I believe the Spirit's will is not for us to just lock ourselves away, as good as that is, but it's actually to position ourselves to receive the gift of wisdom that we might impart wisdom to others and build others up. So even though we're carrying some challenging things in our lives, we're walking in the wisdom, we're receiving the gift, and we're imparting wisdom to others. And so what happens is wisdom begins to grow in a church community, and we build each other up by speaking words of wisdom into each other's lives. Because I believe that the Spirit wants us to be a community where many of us, if not all of us, are able at God's sovereign timing to impart wisdom to each other. That we would help each other as we navigate the complexities of life. If we're having tea and coffee afterwards, then again, I'm not saying anything's wrong with common sense, but imagine we're talking pastorally and God gives us wisdom for situations for others, and people take that home, and it means a lot. It's the heart of God, remember. So I hope that was helpful. I believe that a big part of the Father's will for us at Mount Chapel church family, and it's a long process, I think, you know, church families, we're always growing, we're changing, and that's always happening. But Jesus talked a lot about planting seeds. And I've said this before, when the kids plant seeds, they don't go out the next day and go, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? They're taught patience. They're taught waiting. And I believe that this is what God is doing, amongst other things, in us, is to have the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, active through us in these gifts. And again, not just for Sunday mornings, but throughout all of life. I think when we contemplate and think that the Holy Spirit manifesting His gifts through us is actually the risen Christ doing His ministry on the earth. It's actually the risen Christ ministering to people on the earth through you and through me. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. We can think, well, we've got the Father over here, we've got Jesus here and the Holy Spirit here, but if we're in Christ and born again, by the Spirit, the risen Christ, at the will of the Father, is ministering on the earth. It's actually the resurrected Christ, speaking words and prophecy of strength and encouragement and comfort through each other. I mean, that fascinates me, that God would come down in the flesh, live a life we couldn't live, die a death we couldn't die, by the Spirit, because if you look at the life of Jesus, just always the Spirit, conceived by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And then that same Spirit raises Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says that that means the Father's pleased with the sacrifice. It's enough. Then the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believers. And then the risen Christ, over decades and decades, is ministering on the earth through the Holy Spirit. And then we get to be a part of that. We actually get to be a part of that. And that's how big this thing is. And I haven't even, can't explain in some senses how big that actually is. The risen Jesus ministering to others through us. So I believe the Spirit of the resurrected Christ wants prophecy among us, that we might be strengthened, encouraged and comforted, and that we would also be a people that strengthen and encourage and comfort others. I believe the Holy Spirit wants words of knowledge and words of wisdom among us, that we would know God is real and active and not limited like us, and that we would grow in wisdom and in our lives impart that wisdom to others to help others. And I believe the Spirit wants to reveal Himself in Jesus at the Father's will as a loving God, as a joyful God, the fruit of the Spirit, peaceful and patient and kind and gentle and good and faithful and self-controlled, that He might bear His fruit through us. And we would become a people marked by the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a goal for us as Christians. I want to be a man, or if you're a woman, I want to be a woman who is marked by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's my goal. It's quite a challenging goal to say, God, I'll leave you with the numbers, I'll leave you with all of those things that I can't control. But what I can control is opening my heart and having you bear your fruit through me so my character is changed. There's so many things in the Christian life we cannot control. But we can control our willingness to have our character changed. And that's the kind of thing that the Spirit wants to build through us. We want to be people marked by the fruit of the Spirit. I want people to come up to me and say, He's loving, He's joyful, He's peaceful, He's patient, He's kind. I want them to say it before, if or when I pass away. I don't just want them to say it in the funeral service, if Jesus doesn't come back before then. I want them to say it now. And I think that should be our goal as Christians. Did so-and-so have a successful ministry? Well, were they loving? Doesn't matter if they had thousands of people following them or one family to raise. Were they loving? Were they kind? Are they loving? Are they kind? And that's the kind of goal that we should have as Christians. So these gifts are for all of life, not just as we gather. So be encouraged. Listen out for the Spirit. And have courage and strength to step out. If you do step out, or you get a word of knowledge, you think it might be a word of knowledge, share it to somebody. Say, I think the Spirit's given me a word of knowledge. And we can grow and learn together. But before we close, we've got a couple of minutes. I just wanted to give the opportunity, no pressure, but the opportunity for anyone, if they feel like a stirring in their heart to share a prophetic word or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom now. So I'm going to pray, and don't feel under pressure, but remember, just begin to, if you want to close your eyes if it helps, remember that the Holy Spirit will not force us to step out in these things. The Holy Spirit's not going to, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to physically pick us up and open our mouths and speak. It's as we step out that we begin to operate in these gifts. So we'll just have a few moments after I pray, And if you feel like you want to share anything from what we've learned today or what we've learned previously or what you've already known, I encourage you to be bold and courageous. I'm going to be listening for myself as well. So Father, I just thank you for today. Lord, we don't often get many times perhaps to sit in the quiet with you and with each other. So I pray you would help us do that now. And Lord, if it's your will, would you stir hearts to bring a word of strengthening, encouragement and comfort, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom by your Spirit, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's fine. So, just to say, be encouraged that the Spirit is willing to share the heart of God, and we need but ask. So Father, as we close now, I just pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit in our hearts, that you would plant seeds. We thank you for the seeds that have been planted already today and over many years and decades among us, Lord. We just pray you would continue to pour out your Spirit, strengthen our characters, encourage us, comfort us, and help us, Lord, above all to know we are already in Christ as born again believers. And I just pray you'd help us grow in faith and grow in knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so no, we do have tea and coffee served in the youth hall, so do please stay around for that. If you'd like prayer or have any questions about today, do come up to the front and we'd love to help you. I'll just close with this word of, from Paul. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." In Jesus' name, amen.